The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer, the title track from the 19th album of Judas Priest, Invincible Shield. Oh my goodness. Man, it's good. Halford and the boys are back. You absolutely need to get this album, and I cannot wait to see the boys from Birmingham, or most of the boys from Birmingham, as it were, coming up next month in Newark at the Prudential Center. I'm on the floor with a bunch of my buddies. We are going to have a great time. But speaking of great times, we're going to have a great time tonight on this program, because coming up in 10 minutes, John Dantzler, the co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, going to join me from the brewery itself, located on Van Dam Street in Manhattan. We taped this interview earlier this week. Been a few years since we've had John on the program. Wanted to catch up with him on all the cool things they are doing with their space coming up in just 10 minutes from now. But we've got a lot of news to get to, and let's dive into it. Modern Times Beer has announced their newest year-round offering, Radiant Glow Hazy Ale. It's a sessionable 4.6% ABV brew, features citrus tropical fruit notes with a hint of pine. It is available now in 6-packs, 12-ounce cans, and draft. It'll be featured in Modern Times' mixed pack of radness this spring. You can find it at Modern Times tap rooms in Point Loma, North Park, and Encinitas. Encinitas. Online for shipping to California and Oregon, and coming soon to fine retailers. Great Lakes Brewing has announced the release of Juicy Vibacious Double IPA. That's coming a year-round in 6-pack, 12-ounce cans, 19.2-ounce cans, stovepipe cans, and draft. It's out now. Juicy Vibacious Double IPA clocks in at 9.5%. They also have a beer out. A lot of these breweries are doing beers for the eclipse that's coming in just a couple of weeks that lay in the path of totality. Great Lakes happens to be one of them. They're doing a stout. There's a bunch of them. Maybe next week we'll get into some of the breweries in and around that path of totality. Unfortunately, here in the Northeast, in New Jersey, in this part of New York City, you will not see the total eclipse, but you'll see part of it. Weyerbacher Brewing is doing something really cool on Friday, March 22nd, from 6 to 9 p.m., they are doing a lobster roll kind of thing. It's a Culinary Delights paired by Chef Greg. Your ticket includes a tantalizing lobster roll paired with house-made Old Bay chips, a refreshing lemon bar, and your initial beer, all for just $30 per person. Again, that's a Friday, March 22nd from 6 to 9 p.m. Weyerbacher.com for tickets. Like I've said, I've got to get back to Weyerbacher. There's new ownership. Would love to see what they've done with the space. Obviously, they have food there now. Would definitely like to check that out. That is certainly something I have to get to, and it's not that far from my home. Speaking of our good friends at Stone Brewing, a year and a half post-merger, Sapporo Stone really starting to hit its stride. Sapporo Beer is now rolling off the packaging line at Stone's East Coast production facility in Richmond, Virginia. As I mentioned last week in Suds and Duds, the Escondido, California brewery now kegging Sapporo for the West Coast, the goal of producing all package types this summer. That from interim CEO Zachary Keeling, who told that to Brewbound. He took over the title of interim CEO in January after the departure of Maria Stipp. Dollar sales of Sapporo have increased 20% at multi-outlet supermarkets, convenience stores, and mass retailers in the 13 weeks that ended on January 27th. Stone has increased volume by 2% in NIQ track channels in the 52-week period ending January 27th, outpacing the craft category by 4.5%, according to the company. So good things from Sapporo and Stone, and, you know, it's nice to see. I like seeing success. We've seen too many things happen where breweries are closing and all kinds of stuff, and we're certainly not out of the woods yet on that. I mentioned this a few weeks back, but Team Player Productions putting on a bunch of different events around Colorado. One of them happens to be the Vail Beer Classic. This is the 8th annual. It's back for another round of summer fun, friendly competition. It's June 14th and 15th at Vail Village. This all-inclusive craft beer festival set in picturesque Vail, bringing dozens of breweries, beverage makers pouring their best beer, cider, seltzers, and spirits, live music, food trucks, local shopping as well. Tickets for Friday and Saturday sessions are on sale now, vailcraftbeerclassic.com. The beer tasting sessions, Friday from 4 to 7, there's a 3:30 p.m. early access if you pay for the extra ticket. Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., 1:30 p.m. for the early access. General admission tickets are $49 plus fees. Early access tickets are $69 plus fees. You get a commemorative tasting glass as well, or actually a VIP commemorative glass. So you get something a little upgraded. That's pretty cool. Again, VailCraftBeerClassic.com. Staying in Colorado, the Colorado Brewers Guild delighted to announce 145 beers from over 180 different craft breweries, the largest number yet at this year's Collaboration Fest, which takes place on March the 30th. It's presented by OnTap Credit Union. It's the original collaboration beer festival that showcases the unique and collaborative culture that is Colorado's craft beer scene. The Colorado Brewers Guild fundraiser was established back in 2014, was recently named Best Beer Festival by the 2023 USA Today 10 Best Reader Choice Travel Awards. These tickets are going to sell out, so if you haven't gotten your tickets right now, you should absolutely get them. Saturday, March 30th, 2 to 6 p.m. at the Westin Westminster in Westminster, Colorado. Tickets are available online. General admission tickets are $65 plus fees. VIP tickets cost $85 plus fees. I believe this is on, let me just see where the website we can get tickets. Yeah, it's collaborationbeerfest.ticketsauce.com. If you just do a search for tickets, if you go on to ticketsource.com and you search for Colorado Collaboration Beer Fest or Collaboration Fest, easy for me to say, you can get tickets right there. Coming back home locally in New Jersey, celebrating 10 years of Beach House Brewery beer in Belmar. They're throwing a party on the rooftop at Beach House. It's Saturday, May 11th. There's going to be 9 guest breweries with 18 guest taps offering you some of the best craft beer New Jersey has to offer. They'll have food specials, live music, including acoustic emo covers by Rob D. From 1:30 to 3:30, Two Penny Porters will keep the party going with traditional drinking songs from 4 to 7 p.m. There's no cover. You pay for what you drink. You meet all the breweries from 1 to 6 p.m. They'll be pouring the beers until close. Breweries that are attending: Heavy Reel, Icarus, Wild Air, Bird's Mouth, Little Dog, Alternate Ending, Artist Brewery, Last Wave, and Bradley Brew Project. So all breweries in and around the area where Beach House is. This is really cool. I might go to this. That's kind of cool. And you pay for what you drink. So you get a couple of beers and you pay for what you want. And Beach House, beautiful location. Their beers have been better from what I've heard. So I definitely have to get back there and check the place out. The rooftop is gorgeous, though. That's the best part of it. The view is just unbelievable. Spite and Dival, which was a craft beer bar in Brooklyn, is shutting down. New York Magazine once described Spite and Dival as no bar in the city pays more loving and thorough homage to beer. But after 2 decades, the craft beer bar is shutting down. Owners Jim and Kim Carroll said in a statement to, I believe this was, I'm not sure which magazine this was from, but they said, craft beer's current ubiquity combined with rising rents have made operating Spite and Dival unsustainable. They run a couple of restaurants nearby. Spite and Dival opened in Williamsburg back in 2003. It stood out for its selections of imported European beers, the beer you couldn't find anywhere else, says Joe Carroll. Now you'd be hard-pressed to find any place without it. The last day at 359 Metropolitan Avenue near Havermeyer Street is on April 21st. Sad to see it go, but from what I've heard from people, it has not been the same since they've gotten rid of certain things. So, I mean, unfortunately, you know, times are a-changing, folks. Times are a-changing. By the way, on next week's program, we're going to have somebody on from Weldworks, which is, let me see here, let me make sure, Christian Popchev. She is the director of experience at Weldworks. They are celebrating 9 years as a brewery, having a 9-year anniversary on April 5th through the 7th. They're doing a media noche release of a couple of new beers that you can start buying them on Eventbrite on Saturday, March 30th at 10 a.m. And then, of course, like I said, the 5th through the 7th of April, they're doing a big party. We'll have more details on that on next week's program. But real quick before we take a break, the good folks from Dogfish Head sent me some new canned cocktails, which are absolutely fabulous. Pineapple Orange Rum Mai Tai and the Passion Fruit Citrus Vodka Mule. Clocking in at 12% ABV, they're strong, but they have real booze in them. Very light carbonation. They are both fantastic. I have to say, the Pineapple Orange Rum Mai Tai might be my favorite out of the two. I like that. I like that one a little bit better than the Passion Fruit Citrus, but both are delicious. They are great summer cocktails, great tailgating cocktails, but probably no more than one, unless you're going to sip it over a long period of time. But great stuff. Thank you to Dogfish Head Spirits for sending those along. I do appreciate it. When we come back after a short break, John Dantzler, the co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, is going to join me from the brewery itself, located on Van Dam Street, right here in the borough of Manhattan. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Of course, you can follow me on all those great places, social media, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. We're on Good Pods, iTunes. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. Alexa Ready as well. We're also available on iHeart, Odyssey, and, of course, Monday mornings, the podcast version of the program can be heard over on the Hopped Up Network. You just head over to the hoppedupnetwork.com to listen to the show or a plethora of others that you can download and listen whenever you feel like it. Now, today, we're coming to you from Torch and Crown Brewery. My guest, an old friend of the show, he's the co-owner of this brewery located right here in beautiful Manhattan on Van Dam Street, just a block or so away from the Holland Tunnel, very easy to get to from New Jersey. Open now for almost 3 years. They're still delivering beer around New York City and in places elsewhere as well. TorchandCrown.com, the website for more information and where you can order your beer. And by the way, if you're in Lower Manhattan and you need your beer fix, they can deliver you Torch and Crown Brewing same day, sometimes within an hour. That's fantastic. Let me welcome back to the show, John Dantzler. John, how are you, my friend?
Al, good to see you. I'm great. Good weather in the city means people are out drinking, and I'm liking some of the off-season moves the Giants are making.
Yeah, I have to say, so far, everybody was saying, Joe Schoen, he's not going to do a great job. In one day, he solved a couple of problems, and I'm glad. And you know what? Good for Saquon. He got the money with the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted, and, God bless him. I hope he does great, just not against two times a year when he plays the Giants. So we'll leave it at that. John, almost 3 years, things have shifted and changed from the original plan that you and your partner Joe Correa could have ever possibly envisioned. As we sit here now with all the craziness of COVID and lockdowns behind us, are you and Joe satisfied or is there more work to do?
Oh, there's always more work to do. Definitely during the pandemic, it was really hard to build. I mean, we were just in constant survival mode. And we were very fortunate to have a team of fighters who did a phenomenal job pivoting to, when restaurants were illegal at one point, everyone was stuck at home. We were, our whole team was out delivering beer across the city. There were a lot of silver linings there. That was a formative experience. I'd say our team is battle tested, and this is a group that I love and I'm proud to be a part of. But in terms of what we set out to do, we're still just getting started. It at the end of the day, beer is about relationships, and we are trying to build relationships with everyone in the city. This is the reason that we are where we are right here in Manhattan, right in the center of things, is to be a part of the action. And I think things have gone well. I think looking back, I'm pretty thrilled with where we are today. But we're just getting started.
So right now you're in the courtship phase of the relationship. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, I think that's right. Courtship, there's still the initial sparks, all that. We're working on it. So,
Speaking of the changes, you have a seasonal pop-up in Union Square. This has been going on for a little bit. Now, how did this come about? And for those that don't know, both food and beer are also available there, as well as this location here in Van Dam Street, right?
Yes. And that came about just kind of through my network. We had known some of the past operators in that space. And it's a tough space to operate. It's really beautiful. I mean, it's the iconic pavilion structure that has historical significance back back to like the Tammany Hall and Boss Tweed era, like, right. You know, and it's been a part of New York City history over the years. But you know, it has been there haven't been any operators that have lasted more than a few years in the space, just because, you know, you're in the open in a public park. It's a tough spot. So, you know, when we came in, that was kind of, we were handed the keys effectively. And this was through the last operator, group called Freehold, had some other projects going on that they were, you know, putting resources towards. And so we were able to kind of, work out a friendly deal with them to step in and bring a beer garden to that space, which, you know, for us, there's been a lot of different concepts, fine dining at one point. And you know, you're right there, right on the pavilion, on the park. I mean, that's the perfect place to sit outside, enjoy the city, and have a couple cold beers. So we're kind of, you know, it's, the formula is exceedingly simple. We're not overthinking it. It's just a beer garden. We've got lawn games, great food, great beer. Come hang out. That's about it. So nice. as the weather changes, we're really pumped to get that up and running again for the second season.
We're talking with John Danzler, the co-owner of a brewery located right here in Manhattan, Van Dam Street. It's Torch and Crown Brewing, torchandcrown.com, the website for more information. Find out about the beers, events, and all kinds of cool things that are going on. We're here on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. And I have to say, every time I come into the city for a concert, if it's close by here, I come in because it's a great place to pregame, and the food is fantastic. Are you guys changing things up food-wise seasonally, or are you just keeping a steady menu?
Yeah, we're changing seasonally. We're our chef, executive chef Mike Citarella, is working hard on the new menu, which I think will be rolling out in a couple weeks. But he comes from a background that is far different from what you'd expect from a brewery.
Right.
And you know, that's become one of my favorite things to hear, is people are surprised, you know, like food was surprisingly good or better than it needs to be. You know, expecting just kind of brew pub fare.
Right.
But you know, we're here in Soho. There are so many amazing food options. We really, you know, felt that to provide the guest experience all around, we needed to come to play on that front too. And Joe and I, having zero restaurant background, it was a broad endeavor for sure. But it was, you know, about finding the right people. And so with Chef Mike running that team and running that operation, you know, we're pretty pumped about the experience that they're providing and how that's adding to everything from just people stopping by to pregame before a concert or anything like that to bigger events. We do weddings, rehearsal dinners. We do, you know, big corporate events, stuff like that.
It's funny that you mentioned weddings. Friends of mine actually got married here about a year ago. They were right outside here in the little beer garden that you invented. And let me ask you about that. Originally, the space here, when we talked way back when, originally the space outside here was never going to be envisioned as a beer garden. It was basically your production space. You're going to have trucks here and this and loading and unloading. The pandemic obviously had something to do with that, to change it into a beer garden, because people wanted more outdoor space. You had to pivot at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that space got us through COVID, plain and simple. So we're very fortunate. That actually is not a you know, like a COVID regulation thing. That space is in our lease,
right.
And it's about 3,000 square feet outdoors, which is a rarity for Lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we were fortunate that when there were the restrictions, when you know, when out, it was only outdoor dining, we were still able to fit, you know, upwards of 100 people,
right.
Which, you know, at least isn't a fully viable model. You can't really pay rent that way, but
no.
But it, at least we were able to take care of our staff and keep a lot of people on board, which was great. And you know, the experience that we saw out there in this kind of impromptu beer garden. I mean, you see that tent is up there. We've made,
yeah,
a lot of modifications to it, but originally it was just, what can we get that's cheap and will be here by Thursday?
Right. Right.
And you know, the people there, just in the kind of beer garden atmosphere. We've got TVs out there for games. Watching people having a great time out there was just, it made all the sense in the world to keep it going.
And speaking of which, another cool thing that you guys have going on, March Madness. Obviously, it's starting up this week. It runs through the whole month and into April. You're advertising the fact that, hey, You got a school that's here that's playing at Madison Square Garden. Maybe you can't get into the Garden. And you want to come here. You can rent out a portion of the space. You can rent out the whole brewery if you want to have a big party. That's one of the advantages that you have that maybe some other places here in New York City don't have.
Yeah. That March Madness is kind of is perfectly set up for what we do. It's a big, wide open space. You can see a few of the games happening at once, and you can get together with a group of anywhere from we've got a small office of 8 people coming, and we've got offices of 250 people, right, renting out the whole beer garden. It's that kind of atmosphere. It sort of builds on each other. You know, you get a few parties in the mix and everyone's cheering for their different teams. It ends up being a lot of fun. And personally, I mean, I'm a degenerate gambler, which March Madness is great for that. Have a lot of bets going at once. You know, it's my favorite time of the year too. So we're all pretty pumped about it.
There you go. My guest is John Dantzler. As he says, I don't think he's a degenerate gambler, but he's a gambler. Let's leave it at that. The co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, located right here in Manhattan on Van Dam Street. Torch and Crown Brewing, or torchandcrown.com is the website for more information. We're here on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Let's take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with John. Some stuff that's going on. Obviously, baseball season is starting up. They've got a beer out that perfectly encapsulates baseball and some other stuff as well. We will talk to John right after this on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. I almost forgot my last name. I'm not even drinking yet. That's not a good thing. Joining me here on location for another segment, co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, John Dantzler, located just a stone's throw away from the Holland Tunnel on Van Dam Street. Torchandcrown.com, the website for more information. So, John, baseball season coming up in just a couple of weeks. Mets open up at home. Yankees are away in Houston. But Bat Flip is back. And for the past few baseball seasons, you've been doing an event on opening day of baseball. Is that happening again this year? And if so, what will folks get if they stop by on opening day of Major League Baseball?
Oh, yeah, it's happening. We're pumped about Bat Flip Day. So we're going to have, really a festive atmosphere, ballpark dogs and big beers and big baseball bats, the big 24-ouncers. We got that from, I think, the Savannah Bananas, the minor league team.
Right.
So it'll be a day of shenanigans, we'll say. Bat Flip to us is baseball-themed, sure, but it's really about excessive celebration. In the MLB, we're stodgy. There's the unwritten rules and all that. In Korean baseball, the celebration after you hit a home run, bat flips are like a big thing.
Right.
This beer came about during early COVID, when sports were shut down here and the KBO was really the only professional sports league you could watch.
That's right.
So we all, our production crew, we all adopted Korean baseball teams and had a little like kind of quasi fantasy league going over there. And that we just really got into that, embracing kind of the silliness and just the celebration.
Right.
was awesome. Like, it was awesome to see how they do it over there. So for us, this comes out on opening day. Bat Flip Day obviously is on opening day, but really it's just about having a great time.
Yeah.
And Bat Flip is a kind of snappy pale ale. It's got citra hops. It's delicious, and it's one you can have a few of, and that's kind of in line with the excessive celebration theme.
Exactly. You want something that you can have a few of and not get overwhelmed. Now, let me ask you, before I ask that question, people, when you come here, the cool thing is the production tanks are right here in front. They've got tanks all over the place. And the unique thing about the tanks is all of them are named after rap stars or rappers, or rap groups or whatever. That was a big part of the design for you guys when you started this. Because I remember when you were talking about it, the big window that sits to my left, that's where the tanks actually came through, right, to get set up over here. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We had to rip down basically the whole side of the wall. So you can see that big steel beam up there is that was the retaining area we had to put in to then take out all sorts of brick. This is, you can see, it's about an 18-inch thick wall.
Right.
So a lot of work there to get them in.
And the naming of the naming of the tanks was because you guys are all fans of rap, right?
Yeah, exactly. Joe and I grew up right in the area, big New York hip-hop fans. So that was sort of, music is a source of inspiration in beer. You have a lot of the time you have, you know, music blasting on the production floor as you're putting recipes together, as you're actually brewing. And so that was kind of a cool thing that we wanted to just be a part of the be a part of the atmosphere here too.
Right.
So we've got Salt and Pepper, we've got Mike D, MCA, and Ad Rock, the Beastie Boys. Downstairs we've got the Wu-Tang Clan, and then we've got Prodigy and Havoc, Mobb Deep.
Nice. Now, speaking of outdoor dining, originally when the pandemic started and you were using part of this space here for outdoor dining, you also had sheds set up outside for more expanded dining as well. The city council has recently passed some laws. Mayor Adams has signed it in. It's a new thing now where from, I guess it's March to November, you can have structures outside, but they have to be taken down between November and March so that, you know, snowplows can get through, garbage collection, et cetera, et cetera. Any plans to put stuff back outside in the front of the building, or are you going to leave your space that you have that you can control, that you don't have to worry about the city messing with you?
Well, I'm not too worried about the city messing with us, but it's more, I guess, about priorities for us. We're opening up Union Square. That's a pretty massive undertaking that's taken a lot of resources. And one humbling lesson that I'm consistently learning over and over again is just my own capabilities. I as an entrepreneur, I'm an eternal optimist, and I like to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. And that has bitten me quite a few times in the past, and so we're you know, as I gain experience, I think the biggest lesson for me is just staying focused and you know, making sure that we're not spreading ourselves too thin so that we can execute to the quality that we want. And so for that, you know, the beer garden here and then the Union Square operation, those are priorities. We haven't closed the door on putting something out on the street, but you know, with the outdoor space we have already, it's not a huge priority.
Yeah, and I would think from a logistics standpoint, and some of these, you know, restaurants were complaining they wanted to keep it up all year round. It was a pain in the butt to, you know, put them up and then take them down and do all kinds of stuff. I think that becomes problematic as well. And also, it's probably a liability issue too. You're going to have to take out or at least make sure that your insurance is covered to cover that sort of outdoor structure. Obviously, you're covered on the side here because you're leasing that space and that's a part of the insurance plan, but the outdoor structure in front of the building is probably not a part of your insurance plan.
Yeah, I think that's right. And to be honest, I haven't looked into, you know, when we built ours, it was just a matter of survival. You couldn't have any guests indoors, so it was trying to fit a couple more tables out there. And, you know, I mean, it was even, I built half of the thing out there myself. If you looked at it, you could see which half I built. It was over there looking like the Tower of Pisa.
But it's still up, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it made it longer than it should have. And that's what I'll say, like, the most frustrating, most annoying part about it all was, I in general think these rules are pretty good. I don't mind. It's a logistical pain for sure to have to remove it in November. It'd be
sure.
Much easier to just leave things open year round. But like, you know, they need to be able to plow the streets in the winter. Like I get it. But what was most frustrating to me was that we had like a year of purgatory where they had announced that there would be new rules into place and that they're going to issue guidance. But then the guidance never came. Mm. And I mean, it was literally a year. It was from, I think, early 22 that they were going to tell us.
Right.
And these new rules, I mean, just came out a few months ago. Right.
Right.
And so for us, like, you know, we were at a point where we had this shack that was like built to last us the winter. Again, you know, I'm no carpenter and I was up there, hanging a lot of it. And so, you know, then you're 2 years in and I don't want to spend all the money to fix it just to be told that it's nonconforming when they finally do release the rules. But I also don't want to tear it down and then not, you know, have the grandfather privileges or whatever that was. So we ended up just, you know, it was getting worse and worse. It was sort of, you know, this is wood out there exposed to the elements that we were just doing.
Not to the elements.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And then, you know, the other issue, like, we did have a lot of graffiti and you know, just kind of vandalism and stuff. It was a target out there. So, you know, in all, I wish that they had, you know, gotten it done on the timeline that they said they would have.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if that had happened a couple of years ago, we probably would have, you know, maybe would have built out something a little bit more. But it got to the point where, yeah, it was either we needed to invest a lot of money to, you know, to upgrade it and treat it for outdoors and all of that, or we just needed to just tear it down. And so we opted for the latter at the moment.
I'm talking with John Dantzler, the co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing right here in Manhattan on Van Dam Street on the Yaugatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The answer, torchandcrown.com is the website for more information where you can order beers, you can order Bat Flip, you can get it delivered right to your house if you live in the New York City area. They really do a fantastic job here, and the food is top-notch. Now, last question for me, John. We've seen a lot of changes in the craft beer business over the last several years. It's even more difficult for a small business to survive, especially in the greatest city in the world. What keeps you guys moving ahead when costs are sky high, inflation is crazy, getting ingredients, cans, all kinds of different things, food prices are through the roof, and it seems like there's no relief in sight? What keeps you guys going?
Yeah, I would say for a lot of that, there isn't much relief in sight. A lot of the kind of the cost increases we've seen are structural and are not changing. And craft beer existed on kind of the precipice of we were already so expensive relative to, you know, relative to the cheaper good, the,
sure.
The light beer or anything like that, where, you know, we can't, there's really a limit to how much we can raise our prices in response to rising costs. And so, for us, I mean, it's two prong, it's growth and it's efficiency. So, you know, as we continue to grow, which, you know, we've been fortunate that our distribution business throughout the city is really picking up. We're in about 1,200 bars and restaurants throughout New York City right now, which, you know, for only 3 years in and two of those being pandemic, I'm pretty proud of that number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think on that side, the just increasing sales volume is what's going to lead to stability for us. But it's also every step of the way making sure that we're extremely disciplined on the expense management front. We're in kind of three different businesses, meaning, you know, hospitality, meaning logistics, and meaning manufacturing, right, that are all inherently low margin. They're capital intensive, and the way that you know, the way that you survive there is by obsessing over every nickel. And it really is, you know, it really is that way, where, you know, most restaurants that don't survive, that don't thrive, it's because, I mean, sure, it might be a demand issue, but it's also, you know, because there's the dinks and dunks, the, like, yep, death by a thousand cuts, the $50 invoice here that you know, we overspent on, and then $100 here, and they it all, that starts to add up. And so it's, you know, just maintaining discipline and having systems in place, having the right budgets, having the right, you know, oversight and tools is kind of how we're going about it. But I would say we're still young and not at that place of stability yet, so it's definitely still a struggle for us.
But you're on the path, which is always a good thing. My guest has been John Dantzler, the co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, located right here in Manhattan, Van Dam Street, torchandcrown.com, the website for more information. John, as always, thank you for the hospitality. My friend, all the best. So good to see you again after a couple of years.
Al, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds, right here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
In his eye, it grieves us that all he sets alive. So frantic.
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. A little of the new Judas Priest. The album came out about a week or so ago. Invincible Shield, that is Devil in Disguise. This is an awesome album. I know it's been, what, Firepower, I think, was what, 2019, 2018, something like that. This is one of Judas Priest's best. It's heavy. It's got Halford vocals. It's got that dual guitar attack that you want. It's awesome. Definitely check it out.
Cannot wait to see them next month in Newark. It's going to be great. Second night of the tour. They're just going to be finding their concert legs. I love it. Love it. The boys are back better than ever. And hopefully we get to see an appearance by Glenn Tipton. That would be really cool. All right, Suds and Duds, which is our segment at the end of every program. We're talking about the beers that I've had over the past week or so. And I tell you if I like them or I don't like them as Suds or Duds. This one happens to be a Suds. Little Nader by Trogs. A perfect, perfect Friday beer. Bready, caramel, delicious. This is a great new beer that's come out from them. And this is definitely something that I could see if I want something in a 12-ounce, maybe at a concert, maybe just kicking back, watching a ball game or something. This is definitely a beer to have opening day coming up in just a couple of weeks, of course, for Major League Baseball. That is definitely something that I enjoy. The folks from Dogfish Head had sent me their collab beer with Other Half. This is a double mosaic daydream about blueberry cannibals. This is their version of what this beer would be. More oat than blueberry, which I enjoyed a lot. I thought this would be more robust. I really thought this was going to be a much more of a sort of a punch in the face for you, but enjoyed the subtle flavors nonetheless. It is it's an excellent beer, really good. If you find it in stores nearby, you definitely want to pick that up. Now, here's something that I picked up at Nos Vino, a liquor store in Westfield, New Jersey. They're one of the only liquor stores, I think, that actually carry Timber Ale's beer, because I don't see many places carrying Timber Ale's. And they sell most of their stuff, they sell by the can or in two packs and stuff. But I like what they do because, again, you're not forced to buy a four pack. And if you don't like something, you know, you're kind of stuck with it, which I have had happen. But this particular beer from Timber Ale's, Palette Brulee, amazing. Coconut, coffee, silky smooth. They describe it, Timber Ale's, as a snack-sized stout. I would agree with them 100%. This is the perfect sort of, you want to have something after dinner, but you don't want something that's going to overpower you. You don't want something that's going to blow you away. This is the beer to have. Palette Brulee from Timber Ale's. Excellent beer. And one of the other beers that I bought from them, from Nos Vino, was from Crooked Stave Artesian Beer Project, Coffee Baltic Porter. This is a 2019 version. Dry, roasty, nice coffee all the way through. Delicious. Had a real nice head on it. Surprising for a beer that is what? I mean, we're talking 5 years old. It was still an excellent beer. Really enjoyed that. Drinking Crayons by Icarus. Always a solid beer. I had this the night my mother-in-law passed away. I didn't mention it on last week's show. My mother-in-law passed away back in late February. Due to complications from lung cancer, stage 4 lung cancer. And after the funeral home had come by, I cracked this one open from Icarus because death sucks. Even when you know it's coming, it still sucks. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you prepared for it, it just stinks. Rest in peace, Mom. She was a good mother-in-law. Real good human being. Cared. Just a solid, solid human being. Loved her a lot and was happy to have her in our home for the last couple of years of her life. It's the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I would do it again. I wouldn't even have to think twice about it. And I'll leave it at that. Sapporo. So Sapporo acquired Stone a couple years ago. And they, in the process, and this became a larger picture of shutting down Anchor Steam and the whole thing, but I won't get into all of that. But Sapporo is now now owns Stone. So what they did was they converted portions of Stone's facilities, both on the East Coast and West Coast, into making Sapporo beer, because there is a certain way that Sapporo beer is made, and Anchor Steam wasn't prepared for that. We'll leave it at that. It's too long of a story here. But anyway, Sapporo is now being made by Stone, using Sapporo's recipes and methods and stuff. They're now making it on the East Coast. And they were kind enough, the folks from Stone Sapporo, kind enough to send me a couple of the Sapporo beers. It's a solid drinkable lager. Bottom line, you know what you're going to get when you drink it. I think Stone nailed it. They did it exactly the way Sapporo wants it. And in a 12-ounce can, which is great. Usually Sapporo was in like a big stovepipe can. And it was, you know, to get through it was a little bit problematic. But anyway, excellent beer. Just a solid, like I said, solid drinkable lager. Very good. Speaking of lagers, Jack's Abbey, that's all they do is lagers. And shipping out of Boston, quite a tasty red lager, I have to tell you. This was excellent. I got this as part of a four-pack over at Paragon Tap and Table. They were doing beers for the Super Bowl at $5 a piece. You can't beat it. I mean, $5 for four beers, $20, you get yourself a mixed four-pack and some solid selections. That Icarus Drinking Crayons was a part of it. The Jack's Abbey was a part of it. Excellent stuff. Had my last My Buck by Bolero Snort. Such a good beer. And I forgot that this was one of those. Like, I had it and forgot that, oh, my God, this is a, you know, I think this is like a 9%er, 8-9%er. It's a damn good beer. I mean, a really, really good beer. Very much enjoyed that. New beer by Wet Ticket is their Nectaron IPA. Great hop. Fruity without being too acidic. Love it. Like I said, this is great. I have to say, the Nectaron hop might be my favorite hop. I think because it gives you that juiciness in an IPA without being over the top. And again, that acidity. I'm sometimes not crazy about the acidity in IPAs because it makes me like after one or two, I'm kind of like, all right, I need to back off of this a little bit because I want something a little bit more subtle. And maybe I have to switch to something, you know, different. But the Nectaron one, I could drink over and over and over again. And I think this Saturday night when I was in there, I think I must have had two or three of them over the course of a few hours. It was really good. I mean, it's a solid beer. It's a solid beer. And from what I'm hearing from Wet Ticket, this is the next beer they're going to can in a couple of weeks. Can't wait. Because the moment they can this, I will go down and buy it. I mean, that is a fantastic beer. And if you haven't been to Wet Ticket, do yourself a favor. Go. Rahway, New Jersey. You want to take the train. Northeast Corridor, North Jersey coastlines. They both get you there from New York City. Maybe 20, 25 minutes. Maybe a half hour. I mean, if there's delays. But if you're coming from Penn and there's nothing is shut down and there's no craziness, you could be in Rahway easily in 20 minutes. Open Wednesday through Sunday. Fridays and Saturdays, they're open until 10 o'clock at night. They open at 4 most days, except on the weekends. They open at noon on Saturday and Sunday. Definitely go check out Wet Ticket. It's a great place to go to have a beer. No TVs. It's you and the beer and conversation the way it should be. Finally, my good buddy Chris Fornari, who's now working for Athletic Brewing as one of their PR people, sent me a couple of Athletic's new additions. Vacation Reminder. This might be my favorite of the non-alcoholic beers from Athletic. A very, very slight aftertaste. Not terrible. I could get right past it. This does taste like a triple IPA. It's an excellent beer. And the fact that it's got no booze in it, even better. Great beer. Chris, thank you for that. I know there's two others I think I had the stout. I think I have one left in there. I think it's a blueberry beer that I have to try. Maybe I'll get to that. Maybe I'll get to that next week, and we'll review that on the program. Excellent beer from Athletic Brewing. I have to say, probably my favorite. Again, my thing with the non-alcoholic beers, that aftertaste. I don't know if it's chemical or natural or something. I always feel like there's something missing there, and I get that little bit of an aftertaste. And to me, if I'm going to have that, I'd rather just drink something else. Rick's Near Beer is probably the one that the closest that I've had of a non-alcoholic beer that's excellent, that really represents what a Pilsner should taste like in a non-alcoholic way. And we'll leave it at that. My thanks to everybody involved in the show, including my guest, John Dantzler, the co-owner of Torch and Crown Brewing, and of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m., this is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.